Thank you guys for being here today. As Ryan mentioned, we put these journals in your chairs and hope that you will take it. What we ultimately want to do is, this is an opportunity as we are spending time with the Lord, that we can share with others what God has done. As we, it's 40 days in between now and Good Friday, and we want you to focus with expectation on the things that God wants to do in your life. So please take one of these journals if you need one and you haven't been able to receive one. We have some extras in a box. And also, too, there's several on a seat that haven't been taken today. So, you know, as we think about God's work in us, God's work in us always produces a work for someone else. When God works in our life, we pass the blessing on to somebody else. Paul mentioned this in when he wrote to the Corinthian believers, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. He gives it to us that we might share it with others. We might share that experience that we have had. And so this just kind of helps us recall some of the important pieces and parts. It's you don't have to write a novel. You can just simply write small amount of thoughts. I don't know what you want to do, but this is a tool we want to give you as a church for doing that. All right. Well, let's look at Psalm 63. We've been going through the Psalms together, and last week we talked about as the deer pants for the water brook, Psalm 42. This week we're going to look at a similar psalm, Psalm 63. If you want to turn there in your copy of God's Word, Psalm 63. And I want to read these 11 verses here together, and then we'll come back and talk about it and get some takeaways that we can use. So, Psalm 63, starting with verse 1. O God, you are my God. It's an important statement there. It's not, you are our God, you are my God. It says, I earnestly search for you, my soul thirsts for you, my whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary, gazed upon your power and your glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong hand holds me securely. But those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become the food of jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear to tell the truth will praise him, while liars will be silenced. Now, David, in writing this psalm, one of the things that he does is talk about the covenant relationship that we can have with God. I can't tell you how many times I've stood here and reminded you, it's not about religion, religious activity. It's about a personal relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that blessing that he has given to us has been given to us as part of a covenant relationship. He starts out there where he says this, "O God, you are my God. You are my personal God. Although you are the God of the universe, you come to me personally." And because of what Jesus has done for us, looking ahead into the New Testament, we see the opportunity that we can come boldly before the throne of God because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. He is the one who allows us to experience this covenant relationship that we have with God. As we look back through Scripture, covenants is such an important thing. It's written about over 200 times in just the Old Testament, talking about this idea of covenant. Noah, you remember in Genesis chapter 9, verse 9, "Now behold, I myself," this is God speaking, "do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you." And what did he give as a symbol of his covenant relationship? Anybody? Rainbow. Rainbow was to be a sign that God himself would never destroy mankind in that way again. Aren't we glad that God had done that? Abraham, you remember the covenant God made with him. Genesis 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. God talked about the covenant and the importance of that relationship. In Genesis 17, 2, he says again to Abraham, he's already told him, but he comes to him again and said, "I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly." The multiply you exceedingly was a testimony. It was a verification that what God promised, he is going to accomplish. And if you think of the life of Abraham, only God knows how many descendants Abraham has. Says it's as many as the stars of the sky, as many as the sands of the sea. Moses and his people in Exodus chapter 34, verse 27, says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. That was the sign of God's covenant relationship with his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 13. Deuteronomy 8:18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, and he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today. The covenant that God has made gives to us like a foundation. Like we sang a minute ago, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Well, this is a covenant is like an assurance, a confidence that this is going to happen. That what God has spoken, he is then going to perform. And when we look at the life of Abraham, when we look at the life of Noah, when we look at the life of Moses, when we look at the life of his people, how many times has the Word of God said, I remembered my covenant that I made. I remember the covenant that I made with Jacob. I remember the covenant that I had made with Abraham. And through that, God himself gives to us the opportunity to have confidence about what he promises to us. He gives us the ability to know with certainty and with confidence that this is going to happen. How much more is that now true with the life of Jesus? A new covenant I give to you. You remember at the Lord's Supper, as we partake of the vine, as we partake of his broken body for us, he gave to us a new covenant. A covenant that you and I can have confidence in because God has already. You know, we sang a few minutes ago when we sang that Waymaker song, we talked about the fact that God is a promise keeper. Well, in essence, that's what it's saying. God keeps his covenants. What he promises to us, he is going to accomplish them in his time and in his way. He is going to give us that assurance. So, in looking at it, we say in the first three verses there, he says, I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. In this parched and weary land where there is no water. You know, we talked about when we were talking about Psalm 42 and how David thinks about the deers, and he used it as an illustration. Look at these words. This happens to be the New Living Translation. You might have something else. He says, I earnestly, look at that. He used the word search. I search for who you are, for what you are doing. He says, my whole body longs for you. Can you say that's true of you? You know, a lot of times we get caught up in everything that's happening around us, we get busy doing things. But really, what does God want? He doesn't want our busyness. He wants you. He wants me. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to share with us the blessings that come when we are in covenant relationship with Him. And when you and I think about that, we have been given even more confidence because of what? The Holy Spirit living inside of us. He is not there temporarily and then He goes away. He is with us all the time, 24/7. He is always there. Even in the times that we say, hey, back off, God is still there. God cares about us. God loves us. And God wants to give us the very best. And what has He done to prove that? He has given His Son Jesus. But what is the very best for you? Is it in a job? Is it in your family? Is it in relationships? God wants to give to us the very best relationship in life. One that will never disappoint us. One that will never abandon us. One that will never give up on His covenant promises to us. When He says that where I am, you may be also. When He says in the Word of God, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. How do you know that is true? You know it's true because God is a covenant-keeping God. And that's exactly why David pauses for this moment and says, hey, this is what's going on in my life. I'm longing for Your presence. I'm longing to spend time with You. I'm longing to hear what You have to say to me. And you and I, if we long too, we will experience it. How many times in the Word of God, if you seek me, I will let you find me. God is not trying to hide from us. God is not trying to keep Himself somehow disguised. He wants us. He wants us to have the blessing of a personal, covenant-keeping relationship with Him. The second thing that's here in this psalm is a lifelong covenant of praise. This is David speaking out his commitment to the Lord, his covenant. He says, starting in verse 2, I have seen You in Your sanctuary, gazed upon Your power and glory. And then he uses in verse 3, he says, Your unfailing love is better than life. How I praise You. Now, this word here where he says unfailing love. In the Hebrew, that word is hesed, or some people call it chesed. But it's the idea of a loyal kind of love. That God loves us with a loyal kind of love. How has He demonstrated that loyalty to us? How did He demonstrate it to His people? How many times did they wander away? But He didn't. He stayed there. And He was the one that brought them back to Himself. Have you had that experience in your life? Where God Himself did not abandon you at your, what you think is your worst moment? or what others have said is your worst moment, God did not abandon us in that place. That covenant-keeping God is still working, as he says here. It says, your unfailing love, the kind of love that in the New Testament, the word would be agape. The idea of a love that is without comparison because it is so reaching out. It's so flooding of our life. Have you ever had your heart flooded with the love of God? He says, your unfailing love is better than life itself. So, if God's unfailing love is better than life itself, what else do we need? You know, Paul talks about this idea in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, where he talks about, if I did not spare my only begotten Son, how would I withhold from you any other good thing? That's part of his covenant keeping. That's part of him working. And David is remembering that as he talks about this. He's saying that your unfailing love is better than life. He praises God for that. He says in verse 4, I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest meal. I will praise you with songs of joy. David confesses, because of who you are, because of what you have done, I will praise you not just for time, but for all eternity. I will praise you. I will lift up your name. I will pray to you. I will cry out to you. I will ask you to give me help. I will be faithful in lifting up these things. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Do you remember the last part of that book? He says, though the fruit of the vine fail, though there's no calves in the stall, I'm still going to trust you. Wow, that is powerful. When you think about it, trusting God in the midst of difficult times and difficult situations is really what trust is all about. Anybody can trust God when everything is going right, everything is going their way, and things are wonderful. But man, you add one little ounce of suffering and hardship and difficulty. David said, I'm not just going to praise you when things are good. That's what he's saying here. When you look at it, he says that I will praise you as long as I live. That is his covenant to God. I am going to praise you. I'm going to speak of you. I'm going to cry out to you. I'm going to depend upon you. And isn't that what Jesus taught as well? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's when we're going to experience the blessings, is when we seek him first. When we seek the covenant that he has given to us in the relationship that we have. So he talks about this lifelong covenant of praise. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, what does he mean by he cannot deny himself? God, when he made his covenant with us, he promised to put his spirit inside of us. So, if you feel like you have done something to cause God to abandon, he's not going to abandon himself. He is going to keep serving, loving, caring for us, even in the difficult times and the times when we may run away from him. He is going to be faithful to us. And David knew that to be true. The last thing I want us to talk about is the covenant blessing. The covenant blessing that comes to us when we are faithful. He says there, just giving us a picture of what he was doing. In verse 6, it says, I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Why does he do that? He does that because God is his helper. He says, because you are my helper. You are the one who comes to my aid. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. That is part of why we cling to the Lord and look to him. Verse 9 starts with this idea of a covenant blessing. He talks about, but those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become the food of jackals. Now, when you think about that for just a moment, God promised to his people, if they would be faithful, he would give them life. He would take care of them. He would deliver them from their enemies. That was part of his covenant blessing to them, was to say, hey, when you are going through difficult times, don't turn to someone else. Turn to me. Turn and believe in the covenant promises. And how many examples in the Old Testament do we have? I just think of one. There was three Hebrew boys who were given the opportunity to bow down to an idol that Nebuchadnezzar had raised up. And they didn't. They continued to trust in God. And God delivered them. You know, one of the things I always find so interesting about that story is the guys, whoever it was, who put them in the fire, they got singed. They got burned. They died because of that. But the three Hebrew boys, they didn't. They were protected by God's covering in their life. And folks, when we want to live in the covering of God in our life, we have got to be willing to live in covenant with him. Allow him to guide us. Allow him to lead us. It's not us trying to do it and say, God, aren't you pleased with how well I've done? It's saying to him, God, I can't do enough to please you. If all of my life was poured out, it would not be enough for what you have done for me. and for my life. Hebrews chapter 13, I made reference to it earlier. God gave us this promise before we have it in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And in the book of Hebrews, that's a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 31. It's a quote from Joshua 1:5, where he says, no one is going to stand against you. All of those people that were against the children of Israel, none of them are going to stand before you. All of them will be destroyed. Why? Because God was raising up a people through this process of giving them a covenant relationship with himself. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13 says this, when he said, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. So, if you're trying to live by the covenant, that's why we have so many times in the New Testament when they talked about Israelite people and the males taking the sign of the covenant, the old covenant, the sign of circumcision, that no longer applies. It is no longer part of God's plan. The new covenant is a covenant that is made in blood, the blood of Jesus. And he gives to us the opportunity to experience everything he has to offer to us in that covenant relationship. The covenant of the new blood, which Jesus himself demonstrated and has left for us as a continual sign that he is going to give us the opportunity to live eternally with him. Remember what he said to his disciples? He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. That's part of his covenant, the new covenant that he has given to us that we get to enjoy and to experience. So, what are some takeaways in this psalm? I just want to highlight three. Have you entered into a relationship with God? It's one of the most important questions any of us can ask ourselves. You know, sometimes you hear people talk about, oh, I'm confident I'm going to go to heaven when I die. They're confident because of who they are in relationship with. They're not confident because they have done some great religious work. They're not confident because they've given so much money to the church. They're not confident because of something that they have done. They are confident. We are confident that there is going to be a day when we are going to experience the blessings that God has prepared for us in heaven. We are confident of that reality because God has given us a covenant. He's given us a covenant that we can depend on. Are you living by the old covenant or by the new one established through the blood of Jesus? The blessing that he has given to us. Thirdly, are you holding on to the covenant promises of God as you and I face daily life with its challenges, with its difficulties? Are we facing it with confidence because of who we are in covenant with? That God Himself has given us the opportunity to cry out to Him and experience the blessings He has for us. I found this in some of my research. John Wesley has a covenant prayer that he has written. It's based off of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is it. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and to thy disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. You and I have the opportunity to make that same kind of covenant to God. To give Him our unconditional yes, our unconditional surrender. And that's what David is talking about in this psalm. He's talking about how he surrendered everything to God. Yes, David made mistakes. Some really bad ones. But beyond that, he witnessed, he wrote, he shared how he was committed to the Lord. And he repented and desired, if it was at all possible, for him to walk with the Lord and to experience the blessing that he, meaning God, wants to give us. Is that true of your life today as you think about where you are and what you're going through? Is it true of you that because you're in covenant with God, anything is possible? Everything can be dismissed by the power of God working in the lives of other people. God can do it. Let's pray together.